Well, the past few weeks have featured a happy, if unusual, agreement. It's not often you hear today's scripture readings, a Roman Catholic blogging nun, and Father Andrew Archie all saying the same thing as Lady Gaga. Many of you were here a few weeks ago when we honored our high school seniors, and Father Archie had some advice to give. He told them all that when they got to college, they should give communion a try, at least once a semester. "Make your communions," he said, "and just see what God will do with you." Right about the same time, Lady Gaga published a very controversial tweet to her Twitter account. She reflected gratefully on a sermon she'd just heard, in which the preacher had declared that the Eucharist was not a reward for those who are perfect, but simply the food that God gives us to nourish us and encourage us. Why was this controversial? Because the Twitter sphere and Christian commentators alike are not used to pop icons delivering spiritual advice. Thousands of people were quick to criticize, wondering how on earth such a person as Lady Gaga could claim any kind of credibility when it came to matters of holiness. Only a few came to her defense, and one of them was Sister Teresa Noble, a Roman Catholic nun who maintains a blog on culture and religion. Sister Teresa cut through the accusations of Gaga's hypocrisy by reminding everyone that Holy Communion is first and foremost nourishment, and that while faithful Christians are right to treasure it as a pearl of great price, it is first God's gift, grace, for us to grow further into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Who knew? Lady Gaga, in quoting this preacher, preached a sermon herself in perfect agreement with Father Archie's advice to our seniors here at St. Michael and St. George. This is where today's readings chime in, continuing the same course. Today, the first Sunday after Trinity, is a day when the Church has often focused on Holy Communion, the Eucharist. It makes sense why. 3 Sundays ago, we stood with the disciples as they watched Jesus ascend into heaven. The Sunday after that, we gave thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Last Sunday, we gave thanks for the way those persons and events reveal God as perfect Trinity in perfect unity. And today, we consider how this God in heaven continues to be present with us on earth, chief of all, in his gifts for his people, strengthening us and encouraging us in the way he calls us to walk. Today, our readings highlight 2 things. First, that God fed his people with manna when they were wandering in the wilderness, bread which came down from heaven every morning and which stopped when they entered the promised land. And second, that Jesus Christ himself is now the food which God gives to nourish his people until we reach our own promised land, heaven itself. In Deuteronomy today, Moses challenges the people with the words, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." What is that word of God but Jesus himself, that word which was in the beginning with God, without whom nothing was made that was made? Man lives not by bread alone, but by the word of God. And today we celebrate that Jesus gives his very self to us, himself, the word by which we were made and by which we live, in the bread and wine of the Eucharist. Lady Gaga is right. Just as Jesus himself was not a reward for the righteous, but an offering, a gift for sinners, so the Eucharist, the Holy Communion of his body and blood, is the food which God continues to give us, and in which you and I encounter Jesus afresh, receive his word, and are nourished by his presence within us. It sounds a little awkward because it is unapologetically physical, bread and wine, flesh and blood. We modern people are used to drawing lines between spirit and matter, between things and their meaning. And yet one of the things the church insists on, especially in the Eucharist, is that the two are inseparable. We are a whole person, body and soul together. And it is as a whole person that we are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. We are not spirits trapped in bodies. We are not even embodied souls. We are human persons, which are a unity of both. The other day I read an article by a neurologist who was talking about the brain. He observed that the way we talk about our brains these days is to make use of computer science as an analogy. We talk of memory and storage space, computation and information processing. And yet, this neurologist insisted that this is merely an analogy. Our brains are not computers. You cannot take one apart and find one section filled with memories of childhood and another filled with information on how to drive a car. So much of neuroscience is still a mystery, precisely because our brains are not computers. They are not physical repositories of data or information processors. Likewise, the human person cannot be separated into spirit and matter, mechanism and energy, body and memory. We are each one person, and we interact with the world according to the whole matrix of who we are. In the same way, Jesus insists that the bread and wine are his body and blood, which sacramentally you and I may eat and drink. When he does this, he is not explaining the mechanism by which we encounter him in Holy Communion. Rather, he is making a statement about how God interacts with the world. Not from a distance, not merely spiritually, not by any division of soul from matter, mind from body, idea from action. He interacts with the world, with you and I. He fights against sin and death and the devil as a person, whole, entire, body and soul together. If we are going to interact with him too, as human persons, body and soul, we must do so physically as well as spiritually, both together at once. And this is why it is such a great gift that our Lord comes to us, whole, entire, in the flesh, in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. We give thanks today for that great gift, that just after Jesus completed his work on earth for our salvation, after the descent of the Holy Spirit revealed the church, after we acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, we continue to encounter him day by day and week by week in the bread and wine of the altar. Father Archie, Sister Teresa, and Lady Gaga all insist, and who could resist such a trifecta, that here is food indeed, which nourishes our bodies and refreshes our souls. Of course, I can't resist making one last point. God nourished his people in the wilderness, and he continues to nourish us in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. But you've heard it before. You are what you eat. This is a food which takes hold of us, body and soul, and by the power of the Holy Spirit conforms us to the image and likeness of Christ our Lord. Better than any diet, paleo, South Beach, Atkins, or otherwise, this diet of Holy Communion is what works in us to transform us, not to the latest fashion or picture of desirability, but into what we were always created to be, bearers of the image of God, who rejoice to behold his glory now and unto the ages of ages. It's not magic, it's not wishful thinking, but it is the purposes of God to forgive and restore, to heal and to save. You are what you eat. Come to the communion rail. Receive the bread of life. Become what you were always meant to be. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.